So Bereshus the Reish Kail, the Rashi Kail, all the Chashavim alike. Thank you for asking me to come speak to you. When I started Shidduchim, goes back a number of years ago. So a friend of mine was in the parsha with me. He said to me one day. I think we should look for two wives. He said we got two shvers, two supports, and two huds. So. Others mentioned that they think with the shidduch crisis, it could be this would solve the problem. Maybe not for the first wife, but maybe for the second or third, fourth, fifth, sixth wife. Maybe it would taka be a eitzah. I heard over from the Gra that he said that that if it was up to him, he would have been mevatel the whole cherem derbin gershin because of all the neshamas. What? We're getting there. I thought I was usually only the ingalite are here, so I thought I was only speaking for the ingalite. So. Okay, so they say over from the Gra that he said that he would be mevatel cherem derbin gershin if he could, but because of all the babies that are not being born. But I couldn't find any source that anybody asked said that they never heard of such a thing, so we'll just disregard it. Okay, so Rebbeinu Gershon came along. Rebbeinu Gershon lived from the year 960 to the year 1040, and he was the Rebbe of the Rebbe of Rashi. And he made many, many takanas, known as haram. We'll see what exactly a chayrim is in a minute. But just to talk about the chayrims, we'll say, instead of haramim, because it just flows easier. So that Rebbeinu Gershon made, one of them was that if there's a minyan mitzumtzum, I know I might wipe out the whole minyan right here, but if there's a minyan mitzumtzum, there's exactly 10 people at a minyan, you're not allowed to leaving them without a minyan for chazaras hashatz. And if you do leave, then it's the same chaymer as having two wives. So if it makes sure you don't tell your wife that you left early. That's one. The Shulta Gibayrim in Simen Shin Lamed Aleph and Yeridin Hilchos Nidui brings down a long list. One of them is that you're not allowed to use your cell phone in the Beis Medrash. You have to sit Be'im of Yira. I saw another chayim was that there used to be okay, we'll skip that one. Anyway, but the point is there were many chayims that Rebbeinu Gershom made. Along with this chayim of not taking two wives, Rebbeinu Gershom also made a chayim not to divorce a woman against her will. And we'll discuss later exactly why he needed to do that, but that was another chayim that needed to be done here. One of the other chayims that he made was that if you hit somebody, that you get a knas. I don't know if this was a knas like for not coming to Shachar, $10. Could be it was more like $500. And if you do it in the Beis Medrash, then it's doubled. It was like a lot of very interesting haram that he made. Okay. Anyway, so how chomer is a chayrim? What's so bad? So that's a chayrim. What's the big deal? So there's a Ramban, Parshas B'chu Kaisai. And the Ramban writes on the pasuk of Kol Chayrim, Asher Yechram, that anybody that's over on a chayrim, that the Sanhedrin or Bezdin made al das klal Yisrael. If a person's over on it, he's chayv misa. And the Chasam Sofer and Evan Ezer brings this Ramban on Chayrim de Ben Gershom, and he says that anybody that's over on it has this Chayrim. So it's not only that it's a deraisa, but somebody's mamish over on the Chayrim, he's mamish chayv misa. On a basic level, with Buran Shulchan Aruch, if a person's over on a Chayrim, he's in Chayrim, you can't be mitzarif him to a minion. He's not part of the shul, and he's excommunicated from the. He's excommunicated from the tzibur. There's actually it's very interesting that in the chomer adavar of how chomer Chayim Ben Gershom was, the chomer were very, very machmer about it. It's actually I found a sefer on the computer called I think it's called Mishnah Sachalimus. It has all sorts of dreams that different tzaddikim had. So it says there that the Tzemach Tzedek had a dream. That one time he came to Shemayim and all the tzaddikim came out to greet him. Rebbeinu Gershom didn't come. So he realized that obviously Rebbeinu Gershom had something against him, and he realized that he was being matir too many women with Hatamei Rabbanim. We'll discuss what that is soon. And he realized that this is a taina from Rebbeinu Gershom, so he stopped. Okay. the it seems that in olden times, it wasn't so common to have two wives. And even though it was mutter, but it wasn't, even before Rabbeinu Gershom's time, it was not common. And there's actually a raya having to do with shvus, that it was not common to have two wives even before the times of Rabbeinu Gershom. And one of the proofs that they bring to this is that it says that when Naomi came back with Rus to Eretz Yisrael, it says that that day Boaz's wife was nifter. Why was Boaz's wife nifter? So it says so that Boaz would be able to marry Rus. Now, why couldn't Boaz be married to Rus and to his old wife? So they bring a source from here that it seems that although it was mutter, it wasn't so common. Now, I saw a very interesting thing, that Rabbeinu Gershom was called Rabbeinu Gershom Mor HaGoyla. Why was he called Mor HaGoyla? Actually, very often he'll just be quoted as Reish Gimel Memhe, for Rabbeinu Gershom Mor HaGoyla. He has this title of the illuminator of the exile. And where did he get the title Mor HaGoyla from? So I saw in a sefer, I tried to look for it again, but I couldn't find it, that it said there that Klal Yisrael was very makir tov, so to speak, for what Rabbeinu Gershom had done. Because by making these two takanas, that no one could take two wives, or the takana that a person can't divorce his wife against her will, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his relationship with Klal Yisrael, also had to act in this way. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also couldn't, so to speak, take another nation along with us. And he also couldn't divorce us against our will. So because he, so to speak, was Malam and Tzchus on Klal Yisrael, in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he earned this title of Mor HaGoyla. So whatever. We're not getting into Sfaradim tonight. Maybe next week. So there's one kasha on this. A very interesting kasha. Actually, it has to do with Shavuos also. Everybody wants to know, what does your speech have to do with Shavuos? So, there's another interesting thing that has to do, having to do with Shavuos. When it comes to Shavuos, they say, big Torah, that Klal Yisrael with Hashem is always in a situation of being an Arusa. Klal Yisrael is Hashem's Arusa, not an Asua, but an Arusa. Because it says, Mai Rasa, all sorts of interesting things. So if Klal Yisrael is an Arusa, so that's really the relationship now. So it should come out that even though we're Hashem's Arusa, that he can't take another Ummah as the Amman Ifchar. The only thing is that in Shulchan Aruch, it's Kapaskin, that if a person has an Arusa, then he is allowed to take another wife. So it's a shtickel shver how this thing stims. But the few of the Rish Kol said last week by Kiddush is Meyoshev, because the Rish Kol said that we're only Hashem's Arusa till we learn Torah. We got the getting the Torah is the Erisin, but the learning of the Torah then will become a Nesuah. So according to that, then it could be Meyoshev. Okay, now getting down to business. Oh, one more thing. There's a Taz. The Taz asks a very interesting kasha. The Taz, one place the Taz, very famous Taz. The Taz is in Arachaim and Simon Tov Kuf Pei Ches Sivkot and Hay. And the Taz there asks, how could the Chachamim make a takana not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos? How did the Chachamim, how could they go ahead and take and tell us not to do a Mefurash Pasuk in the Chumash? That's the Taz's kasha. And the Taz says the same thing also in Yeridei and Simon Kuf Yud Zayin, also Sivkot and Hay. That's the Taz's kasha. So the Taz there in Hilchus Shofar says that they didn't mamash tell us not to do it. They still left the mitzvah when it doesn't come out on Shabbos. That's one of the terutzim. Fine. So the Chasam Sofer here in Evin Ezer asks this kash on the Taz. In fact, the Chasam Sofer, there's a mefer. How could Rabbeinu Gershom make a takana not to take two wives? There's a meferish pasuk that says you're allowed to take two wives. What's the pasuk that says you're allowed to take two wives? Kisi enelish shtei nashim, right? Shtei nashim, you're not allowed to take. So the Chasam Sofer says the terutz. I couldn't find the teretz and the whatever, so we'll just leave the kasha at that. You have to have some, you know, the speeches, but you have to have a take home. So that'll be your take home, be that question. Okay, so now getting down to here, the question is, why did Rabbeinu Gershom make this takana? Like, what's the big deal? So a guy will marry two wives, but why is it so bad? So we find six reasons in the Rishonim. Not just six reasons, unbelievable. So one reason I saw quoted, Vashem the Rosh. And I looked in the Rosh, I don't see it there, but this is what this Sefer says, B'Shem the Rosh. And he says that Rabbeinu Gershom wanted to make more equality between men and women. That why could a man just decide how many men women he wants to marry, and a woman can't? And a man could just like kick his wife out, and she can't kick him out. So to make more equality between men and women, Sir Rabbeinu Gershom made these two takanas, these two haramim, not to take two wives and not to divorce a woman against her will. But I looked there in the Klal Mem Gimel, and the Rosh doesn't say that. He says something, not that, but whatever. But Al-Kapanah, this Sefer says that it was, so it might be a Rosh in Klal Mem Gimel. Okay. Now, another reason is like this. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to marry a woman in one city and then go to another city and marry another woman. Why not? So the Gemara says, because you marry one woman here, you'll have kids here. Then you go over there, you'll have more children over there. And what's going to happen is that they'll meet. And they'll find that they have so much in common with some of your kids, Chas V'Shalom, and they won't know that they're brother and sister because they never heard of each other. They may even go by different last names, right? And before the internet and whatever, they may say, hey, this is what a wonderful shidduch, which actually I read a story once that it's actually happened with two adopted kids. And they mamash, they had everything in common. They both love Chinese. They both love going to Orlando, whatever it was. And Nebuch, they got married, and the kids actually turned out to be mamash all deformed and retarded. Nebuch. Al-Kapanah, when that, after the second child came out, they did research. They found out that they did DNA, and then they did research. They found they were talking brother and sister. Al-Kapanah, so because of this chash, this is an issa. You're not even before Takanah Tzimin Gershom, you were not allowed to have, it's a halacha shachnarach, and Evan has the same base, that you're not allowed to marry a woman in one city and marry another woman in a different city. So the Gra writes, that's the reason for this, that as an offshoot of this takana, of this gemara, this halacha, not to marry two women in two different cities, Rabbeinu Gershom made it even more, and he said not even to marry two women ever. Now, the third reason is that they may fight. Everybody knows you have, as it is, it's hot enough. Yeah, I hear. It's a good kasha. I hear. It's a good kasha. You have the same problem. I hear. It's under 7 days. I don't know. It's a good kasha. Anyway, so others say this. Rishonim that say that because they may have a fight. Imagine I was sitting next to someone last Thursday night at Bar Mitzvah, and I told him I'm speaking with Rabbeinu Gershom. He said, "Can you imagine both women made potato cocoa one Friday night, and then this one's better than the other one? Can you imagine the fights that come out of it?" I actually, when I was in the mirror, so I became friendly with one of the Magidishir. They said he told me that there was a boy, a bacha came to learn in the mirror from Shiraz in Iran, and he said he came from one of these homes. The pshat is there were two wives, there were two houses. And the first Leil Seder was in one house with one wife and her kids. The second Seder, the father was in the other house with the other kids. And whatever, so this boy came to learn in the mirror. He told this Magachir that he thought maybe the Ashkenaz way of having just one wife was maybe better. Okay, anyway, talk about Katata. Fine. Now, the Marik says, B'shem the Rajba, Shalayis Amarba. That the reason why Rabbeinu Gershom made this chayra of not having two wives and not divorcing a woman against her will was because if a guy says I can do what I want, he doesn't like his wife, he just dumps her and he could just take another one. So they needed to make two. The Rishonim also say that they needed to make both because otherwise it wouldn't have worked. It means if a man knew if a man knew that he can threaten his wife with divorce, he'll just divorce against her if she doesn't agree to the second wife. So she would have to cooperate with him. So therefore, they needed these two takanas of not marrying two wives and not divorcing a woman against her will. Otherwise, the system wouldn't have worked. Another reason is the Maran Padva says that the reason why you're not allowed to marry two wives is because imagine a guy, or some guy today, some real tzaddik. Shidduch crisis. So every woman he finds, a girl in Nabach, he can't find a shidduch. So he'll marry one more wife. With time, he'll have like 11 wives. All the same Shemayim, of course. And he'll end up with like 67 kids. And he won't be able to support them. Can you imagine the tuition bill? So he won't be able to support them. And therefore, Rabbeinu Gershom made this chayrim not to marry more than one wife. The Shalas Yaivitz says this. That the reason why Rabbeinu Gershom made this takana was because they lived among Christians, and the Christians did not take two wives. And they looked at it, these Jews take two wives. It didn't look good. Not only that, Shlomo Yaivitz writes that it was a sakana. And he goes so far as to say that there was no sakana, that the goyim didn't care, then it was taka. Then it was taka mutter. But the Maisa, we hold the pasuk in Shulchan Aruch that it's also either way.
Either way, the goyim don't care today.
Well, either way, the goyim don't care today.
They do.
They do care. I don't think it's a sakana. You think someone's going to show up at your door with a gun?
It's always sakana. Anytime you make a bad impression, that's why.
To show up at someone's door with a gun.
It's illegal.
Yeah, I know. Okay, anyway, fine. So that's, that's that. Now, if you ask any guy who wants to show off that he knows a little bit, he'll say, oh, I'm going to show it, stop. It's only for a little bit. It's not a gay anymore. So what's up with that? So it's actually a machaber. In Evan Ezer and Simon Aleph, Sif Yud, and Ibn Gershom writes, and Ibn Chava writes that V'loy Hichrim Elo Ad Seif HaElef HaKamishi. He only made the Chayrim until the end of the 5,000, which in other words would have been, it's a little hard according to the numbers that we think, but basically till the year Hay, which, because really when we have Tavshin Ayin Dalet, it's really Hay Tavshin Ayin Dalet. Because it's really 5,000. So, till the year Hay, meaning after it was Dalet, tough, Kuf, Tzadi, Tess, and then the next year was Hay. So it was till then, which in other words is really the year 1240. It was really Rosh Hashanah of 1239, but whatever. But that's when the Takana was really made till. Now it's a very interesting thing. This idea of a Takana, a Chayrim, only being made for a certain amount of time. Now, we never find any other takana that was only made. Like, they didn't say, like, Muktzah until 1667. And Amir La'akob, 1321. Like, what happened with Chayrim Ben Gershom? The Ben Gershom only made it till 1240. That's a kasha. So the Mishkanes Yaakov explains like this. That the very, a very big chiddush. Mishkanes Yaakov says that the Chachamim do not have the power just to make takanas randomly without coming to make a gedder or a siyog to protect a mitzvah in the Torah. So that every takana, every mitzvah, every issa derabbanan or mitzvah derabbanan had to come in some way to protect or to enhance a mitzvah deraisa. And being that this takana, I guess according to certain rishonim for sure, like we discussed before, was only a takana by itself, not to marry two women. It didn't protect any mitzvah deraisa. Therefore, the chachamim have a right to make laws, but they can't just make a new takana chachamim. And therefore, the only way they could do it was l'dairis, meaning for certain generations, for their dar, maybe another dar, whatever, a few dairis, they were able to make this takana. And therefore, says the Mishkanes Yaakov, that's why Rabbeinu Gershom only made his takana until the end of the 5,000, till the year 5,000 for Bria Sa'ilam. That's what the Mishkanes Yaakov explains. Now, what's very interesting to note is that this Maran Padva brings this Rashba and the Mechaber and the Ramah, they go with this that it only was until then, is that the Rishonim of that time that lived then in the year 1240, they were the Ran and the Rashba and the Ran and the Ravya and the Mardcha and the Maram Rutenberg. They all of them say they don't mention this. Not only that, but the Yamshel Shlema says that he had the original takana. I mean, he had the paper. He saw the original takana for Rabbeinu Gershom. It doesn't say one word about it ending any time in the year 5,000. So he doesn't know where it came from. Not only that, this is another connection between this topic and Shavuos. We'll see who can figure it out. Is that if Rabbeinu Gershom made a takana and he said it only goes until the year 5,000. Then you would need another Bezdin to come along in the year 5,000 and be Mevatalit. Now what's the Raya? Who can tell me the Raya to this? That even if Bezdin made a Takana, and it was only the Zman, it was only for a certain amount of time, when that time is over, you need another Bezdin to come and be Mata this Takana. And what does that have to do with Shavuos? Very good. Well, it was all of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says in Be'er, all of Klal Yisrael. They were all also to their wives before Matan Torah, and then Hashem, even though it was only for, it said only for 3 days. The pasuk said it was only for 3 days, and then Hashem had to come and tell them afterwards, Shuvu lachem la'aleichem. That was their permission to go back home. And the Gemara says, what?
The
Gemara says in Be'er that without this extra permission, the Gemara discusses that side also. And I think so. I hope so. So the I hope no one has a bail open in front of them. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara says if not for this permission, that for this Hashem will give me the permission to go home, then they would not have been allowed to go home to go back to their wives, and the taka would have remained also. So we see from there that you need another bezin to come afterwards and to be matir Therefore says Rabbeinu Gershom therefore says the Yamshel Shlemi Yevamos that he also does away with this whole ending in the year 5000, and he says that it's not true and the takana is still in full swing. Now, regardless of whether it did or it didn't, whether Rabbeinu Gershom initially made it till the year 5000 and or didn't make it till the year 5000, either way, Klal Yisrael took it on as a minig since then. Now, this is some answer why the Sfaradim don't do it. So some places, they never took on the minig, they never took on the chayim in the first place. And even those that did, some of them did not continue it after the year 5000, b'toras minig, and that's why they don't have it. I don't know the whole Sfaradi thing, so I decided that maybe we won't talk about that tonight. So that's that. Now, very interesting. That's a very interesting point. Now, listen to this. How chamor is Rabbeinu Gershom? Now, we find the chachamim over the years, even though it's really only a chayrim, it's not even a takana like we did in the Gemara, and now it's really only a minig. And based on this, the Ramah Taka writes in Evan Ezer, the Taka Moshe writes that if you have taka suffik over Rabbeinu Gershom, so then it would taka be mutter. And we're talking about because it's a suffix. If it's a suffix of a derabana, it's even less than a derabana, the Ramah holds, and therefore we would be matter any suffix. On the other hand, we find Chacham Mamash went all out with Chayin Rabbeinu Gershom. There's this unbelievable Maril. Listen to this Maril. The Maril says like this: let's say you have a man. His mother disappeared. They don't know where she is. She may have been in the World Trade Center. They don't know. So what's halacha? So okay, fine. We don't know who she is. So is he allowed to say Kaddish or not? The Maril writes that the son is not allowed to say Kaddish. Why? Because if the son says Kaddish, then his father may take this to assume that if my son's saying Kaddish, my wife must for sure be dead. And therefore he's going to go marry another wife. So to prevent the husband from by mistake violating Chayin de Rabbeinu Gershom and taking a second wife by mistake, they did not allow this son to say Kaddish for his mother, maybe. That's what the Maril says. So you see how far they went with this. Now, actually, in the Iker Inyan of how of this.
He argues
on the Ramah.
This is a
Suffolk in Rabbeinu Gershom. But there's really an element of a takana here that they were machmir. Even though, because the suffix doesn't really head on to the takana, regular suffix of an issa derabanan you have, but here was a special takana to prevent the situation from coming up. So it's an interesting point. It's not mamish head on against the takana.
I disagree.
I hear. Okay, fine. You could all disagree with me. Fine. Lo again, weiter. Now, there's actually a very interesting thing. We find that a woman, if let's say a man disappears. So the halacha is that if we don't know where he is, so normally for every davar sheba erva, anything to do with permitting women, marriage, divorce, anything like that, you need two witnesses. But when it came to being Makar and Aguna, because of the Chaimra of Aguna, the woman's never been able to get married again. So they allowed the woman to get married just on the basis of the testimony of one witness. And the Rashi says, "Ksubis b'te Chaimra shech marta leba seifa kilo leba tchilasa," which means that because she knows that if she gets married and her husband comes back, she's not going to be able to be married to either husband, so therefore she's going to make sure to find out for sure, and therefore we're allowed to rely on her. The Taz says, not the Taz, the Beis Shmuel says that this, what happens in the case of the man? That means you have a man who there's a suffix about his wife, and if she's alive or dead, so he can't get married because maybe his wife is alive. That Pashas, right? And this is what the Beis Shmuel holds. He can't get married, he can't get married. And there, what happens if an Eid Echad comes and says that he saw that the wife died? Could we rely there on Eid Echad? So it's very interesting, Beis Shmuel, that the Beis Shmuel says that we cannot rely on the Eid Echad, because he says it's an Eid Echad, can I get this chazak, a whole thing. And the Paiskim come out very, very strongly. Actually, they say a svara that it's a bigger mitzvah. Listen to this. I hope no women listen to this. But that they say, the Paiskim say that it's a bigger mitzvah to be matar the igun of a man who can't get married than to be matar a woman, the igun of a woman who can't get married. Just for the Aguna Chronicles, they should have this clear of the other side. Okay. Anyway, so that's this point about the chaimer of the iser. Now, if I would ask you the following question. You have a man, he's married, he got married civilly, he never got a Jewish marriage. He married a woman civilly. Would you say that the Scheder de Minigarshim and he can't marry somebody else? So if I would say that, you would say you're probably Reform, and you would kick me out, never let me back in here again. But and you probably might be even be right. But for kicking me out. But and so holds the Binyamin Zev, he was one of the Rishonim. He says, of course, on a civil marriage, there's no Scheder de Minigarshim. But there's a Knesset HaGdolah. The Knesset HaGdolah says a fascinating chiddush. He says you have a man, and he's married civilly to a woman. The Chachamim counted that in a sense as a marriage, and he is not allowed to go marry another woman because he's in a sense married to this other woman. So it turns out, I called him Shmuel first just to ask him if I'm right, and he said yeah. He says according to the Knesset HaGdolah, it comes out that you have a man. He gave his wife a get. But he didn't finish his civil divorce. So according to the Knesset HaGdolah, he's not allowed to get married. It's Mamash Chayim de Benegashim. It was an interesting point that came out. I asked him how he would pass, and he said it depends if the from or fry. I didn't get the why that has to do with anything. Whatever, he didn't want to elaborate. Okay, Lama Gein Viter. Now, interesting tshuva I saw from Ramosha Sternbach. This man became a Baal tshuva. And he started to learn about Judaism. And then he comes to Moshe Steinbach and he says, listen to this. He says, when I was a little kid 30 years ago in Israel, we were a bunch of teenagers, we were playing around. I took out a thing and I told one of the girls, and I said, Ariyama Kadash, leave it to Batsu, Kadash, Moshe of Yisrael. And I married her. And that was it. What's halacha? So he said, 1 second. If you married her, then you're married to her. Now you can't get married. You already have one wife. You can't take another wife. So he has a long tshuva to discuss this this idea. What?
Arusa, you say.
Was an arusa? I hear. It's a good kasha. There's another big hat anyway, because if none of the Eidim was shemesh tayr mitzvah, then anyway you don't have Eidus lekumis, the whole thing doesn't work. But anyway, that was the story. There was such a story that came to Ramesha once that they were playing around, and then the girl got engaged. The girl got engaged, and she realized she had really had this marriage to this other guy that. This teenage story back many years ago, and they couldn't even give a get l'chumra because her chasim was a kayin. So l'maiser, Maisha was matir without a get. Okay, anyway, but that was that. So okay, now what happens if someone's over on the takana? Someone goes against the takana. Does he have to divorce his wife or not? So the Rama brings two shitas. What? Which one? Oh, actually, it actually depends. I'll go into both. So, if a person's over on the takana and he does marry two wives, so the Rama brings two shitas to the Yeshayim. Now, really, on the paper, on the paper that said the title, it's Mamash Kitzarayin, the Shayla, Mamash. The title for tonight's shiur was having two wives. So, Vais Tachais, whoever made the paper, held like one tzad. Because Damas is you can clara hakira. What's the Isser of Chayin Derben Gershom? Is the Isser of Chayin Derben Gershom to marry two wives? The Maisa Kedushin, the Maisa Nisuin, to actually marry them? Or is the Isser not so much the marriage? The Isser is the going against, the having the two wives, even though regardless of the Kedushin, that's not the Isser. The Isser is to have the two wives. What's an Afkamina? So there's many Afkaminas. One Afkamina, the Shemaka Afkamina is like this. The halacha is like this. What happens if a man has a wife he can't divorce? Let's say she's crazy, and she's not normal, she can't accept the get. Or a situation where she refuses to accept the get under certain circumstances, so Rabbi Gershon writes in the original Cherim that he can write what's called a Heter Meir Rabbanim, right? You have to get 100 rabbis, they have to live in 3 different countries. Some even hold that they have to say that they have to speak 3 different languages. So, just as an aside, so why do you need me to be so complicated? So there's a few reasons. So one reason is just it should be a big hassle. It should be a tircha. It shouldn't be something that you do very easily. Hatamei Rabbanim. Another thing is that by Egel Arufa, it says by Egel Arufa the pasuk says that the chol ziknei ha'ir, that all the elders of the city had to go out to the swamp to chop the head off of the calf, right? Egel Arufa, right? Yaakov Rin, you guys, yeah? Egel Arufa? Okay, good. Now, even though it says all, but the halacha is that even 100 is enough. So we see that all the Gdailim, all this Canaan, 100 is enough. So if you have 100, 100 is like having all of the Rabbanim. So they have to, and the reason why they have to be from different places, speak different languages, is so that they should have a different opinion, a different, you know, different way of looking at things, different people can analyze things in different ways. So, fine, Lamaisa today in America, when they do it, they're not so mocked that they should have to be from 3 different places, as long as they're from 3 different states, and they don't have to be, it doesn't have to be, you know, 33 and a third from here, and 33 and a third from there. It could be, some guys have a summer home. Whatever, it could be from there. Some say you need to have a minyan at least from each place because you need at least 10 people that they could be matar achirim, whatever it is. Fine. Kopanim, so this idea of hatamei rabbanim. So if you have a man, let's say his wife went crazy, and so they wrote him hatamei rabbanim, 100 rabbis speak, some speak English, some speak French, some speak Hebrew. They made the hatamei rabbanim, very good. So now, what happens with the Hetamei Rabbanim? They write a get. They appoint a shliach. He has to put down ksuba. Now, I'm not sure what they do today, because today the Brahma writes that the Meichel the ksuba. I don't know what they do about the ksuba, but the original halacha in Shulchan Aruch was that the original chayrim was he had to put down the ksuba, that the cash was ready, or at least a mashkin for her to take, and the shliach was there ready to get whatever, if it was ever negeah, and then he can go marry somebody else. Now, what happens if the woman became normal again? So now this man is married to 2 wives. So if you hold that the Isser is the Meisen Nisuin, the fact that he married the 2 of them, so this man didn't do anything wrong. He could be married to 2 wives. Some people asked me if there's any heter. They said they want to know the only coming if there's a heter. So I said, "Oh, you think I'm just going to say the Isser?" Okay, so we found 1 heter. So that's the thing. But if you hold that it's the Isser to have 2 wives, then he would have to divorce his second wife. Because he cannot have 2 wives. That's 1 nafkamina. Another nafkamina is if the guy made a mistake. Let's say an aid or aidim came and told him that his wife had died. Which if you read the tshuvas in the paiskim, this seemed like it happened like many times that it was a man. And he'd say they came to tell him that his wife had died, so he married somebody else, and now they came to him and they told him that his wife is alive. So again, if you learn that the Isser is the Nisun itself, so then the man did an Isser, and then he'd have to divorce one of them. But if not, then L'chair, he should be, I don't know, practically speaking, what we would do, but then he would be allowed to remain married to one of them. Yes.
That's what he's referring to, that story.
Are you referring to that 1957?
Yeah, I think so. But then I met a guy once, and he said that he was there in camp once when it happened also. And they made them get a get. But that must be a different story.
Made it fun to, you know, the girl, they had to do something to undo the Hari of Mekudesh's leave. And I don't know how they did that. But the girl was unfortunately not able to ever marry a coin.
Mm-hmm. Probably they gave a get.
Yeah.
Probably he had to give a get, I would imagine. Because if there was no get, then she could still marry a Cohen. Usually, in civil law, you could do an annulment of a marriage if they say that one party is crazy. But in Jewish law, there's no annulments. I mean, sometimes they can, whatever. If there was no eidos or whatever it is, there's certain things that the marriage never happened in the first place.
Yeah,
I have tight theory. Okay. Anyway, fine. So a few more points. The one point I don't think I said before, it was that the svardim, right? So the svardim, we know that they can marry, they can take two wives in certain places. But first of all, if they go to a place that the minig is to not take two wives, then they're not allowed to take two wives. Them and their sons. They can't. And if you go there, if you live in a place where you are not allowed to have two wives, and you move to a place that you are, then you and your sons can't have. I guess your grandchildren could. Anyway, fine. If you feel bad for your Einikov. Okay. Anyway. So now, what's the halacha? How do we view the Isser? What is the Isser? Is the Isser on the woman also? So what's an afkamina? An afkamina is if you have an Ashkenazi woman and she wants to marry some man in Iran and only have a husband for the first Seder, let's say, or just for the second Seder, as we discussed earlier. Can she do that? So the Paiskim say yes. The Cherim was only Akakafta de Gavra. It was only on the man. It was not made on the woman. And therefore the woman does not do any Isser. I guess that's basically covers. I'll tell you over one more Geshmaka Shaila. So we discussed the other Cherim, but I guess you wanted to know if they did a Be'isser. So there's a big tumult like this. The Ramah paskins if a man divorced his wife Balkarcha, so the Ramah says that the get is good, even though he violated Cherim de Benegashim. The Rabbi Kiva Eger stels to a Maram Mintz, which I don't know, the one on the computer is very hard to figure out those letters. But I looked it up, and it is there. And there he says that the get is not good. Because you violated the cherim, the get is not good. So the Paiskim discuss why is the get not good. He violated cherim de benegashim, but it still should be good. So some quote a Gemara in Tmura, that the Gemara in Tmura says that i'avid loy mahani, if somebody, the Chachamim or the Torah, says not to do something, and somebody violated what they said, so it doesn't work, right? Like in the one of cases, Tmura, right? A person takes two animals, one is Kachem, one is not, and he says they should switch, the Kachem should go on to the non-Kachem one, and the non, whatever, you got the point, they should switch, right? So even though he tried to violate it, it doesn't work. So that's what some say, why the Maram Mintz, those Rishonim hold, that a get balkarcha doesn't work even b'diavad. And the kasha is that l'chayra, if the gerishin should work, why should this be a problem? That's actually, I saw one someone asking on this opinion that, according to this, if you violated what Chazal said, and you did it anyway, it doesn't work. So if somebody gambled and he won money, also, there's an isser to gamble, whatever the isser is, and therefore the money that he earned should not be his, based on that. I just want to say one more quick shiloh.
The problem that he had the reason is no good because he had the safer right from his shliach, and you can't be shliach of Baraveri, you have a Ravana.
That's not the svar that they say. They say of a similar svar. They say that the shliach and the edim, the sefer and the edim, if they knew, then they're, and they did it anyway, then they're pasul. So then you have a pasul sefer and a pasul edim who violated chen derbin gershim, and that's why they're not good. Right. That's one of the svars. Others say that the chum were mafkir the get. It doesn't belong to the husband, and because the get has to belong to the husband, so it's not good. I'll tell you over one book of shmak alam the shashayla. What is like this? Basically, this man sends the shliach to go divorce his wife. And the shliach shows up, and there was some goyim were in the middle of kidnapping the woman. They were taking her away, and so he threw the get at her, and she took it, and she threw it away. So she was screaming. She said, "I'm not taking the get." He shoved it in her hand, whatever, and she threw it away. So it's technically she's if get it's a get bal karcha. So what's the needin over here? So Nagib Yehuda wants to say that it's a ein shliach l'dvar aveira, and therefore you could say the husband could say I never sent you to do this iser of divorcing my wife bal karcha, and therefore it's amagreshes. But others want to say no, that you can differentiate between the two points. Meaning ein shliach l'dvar aveira was only said that I don't get the iser, but the shlichus, the fact that I sent you to do this for me, the shlichus itself was done. The issa that you did is not nesiachus to me. That's a big shaila, and it's there's eight shuvas tonight. You hear the back and forth about this. I just wanted to end that the Maramint says that whoever keeps all these haramim, I think it says yitnu brachas al reishachas. So all of us came here tonight. I hope no one has two wives, so that we will all makayim this, and may lots of blessings fall on your head.